that special number, wonderful love. That pretty well tells it, doesn't it? That's the gospel. Calvary's love. We'd like to ask you to turn, please, to Luke's gospel, chapter 23. Luke's gospel, chapter 23. We'll be reading from verse 39, Luke's Gospel 23, verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, the Lord Jesus, saying, "If thou art the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss or nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus said unto him, "Assuredly I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise." That's the gospel. That's the good news, isn't it? We have been taking up a series study on the seven words or statements of the Lord Jesus while he hung on the cross. And the last time we were together, we considered the first statement. The first three words of the Lord Jesus on the cross are words of sympathy. The last time we were together, we spoke on the subject of, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Those are words of sympathy. He was looking down at the very ones that nailed him to the cross, and he had sympathy for them. And he said, "Father, forgive them." Forgiveness is the key to the gospel, isn't it? You and I that are born again by the Spirit of God, we are saved because we have been forgiven. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Words of sympathy. The second words that the Lord Jesus spoke are the words that we read about today, the words that he spoke to the repentant thief. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Isn't that beautiful? "With me in paradise." The third words that we hope to take up, Lord willing, in the future, he looked down at his mother in sympathy and he said to John, "Behold your mother." Words of sympathy. The fourth and fifth words are words of suffering. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And "I thirst." And the sixth and seventh are words of satisfaction. "It is finished. And I, into thy hands, I commend my spirit." That's the outline that we're following in our study. But today we want to consider the sympathy that the Lord Jesus had for the criminal, the thief who is the repentant thief there hanging on the cross. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This criminal, this thief is the first saint that entered heaven after Calvary. That's not bad, is it? That's not bad. When you think of who he was, the very first one that the Lord took to paradise, to heaven, was a criminal and a thief. From execution to exaltation, that's the way he went. He was being executed for the sins that he had committed. And now he is exalted by the grace of God in heaven. A very unlikely candidate, wouldn't you say? Unlikely candidate for heaven, for paradise. He was snatched from death row and taken into glory. That's not bad. But that's the gospel, beloved. That's the good news of salvation. He was snatched from death row and was taken to paradise. You see, salvation is not for good people. I think that's the important lesson we learn from the repentant thief. Oh, there are so many people, whenever you talk to them about the gospel and salvation, well, I'm doing my best. Have you ever heard that? I'm doing my best. Beloved, you can never do your best and get to heaven. That's not the way to heaven. The way to heaven is the way this repentant thief went to heaven. A guilty, hell-deserving sinner that turned to the Savior. That's the gospel. That's the good news of salvation. No good people are going to be in heaven. Isn't that strange? That's the Word of God. The Word of God says there's none good. Not one. You know, we can try to pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, I'm not as bad as Mr. So-and-so across the street. But you know, the Word of God says there's no difference because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here we find at Calvary the Lord Jesus Christ, the only perfect person that ever lived, and he is between two thieves, hanging on a cross between two thieves. You know, Isaiah the prophet talked about this, didn't he? He tells us in Isaiah 53 that he was numbered with the transgressors. That certainly is fulfilled there on Calvary, isn't it? Numbered with the transgressors. But listen, let's not restrict the transgressors to the two thieves, one on the right and one on the left. You and I are included. They were simply our representatives. Those that nailed him to the cross are our representatives. And if we would have been there, we would have done the very same thing. We'd have nailed him to the cross. We would have cried, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. This repentant thief, I can't help but believe that he had some spiritual enlightenment. And I'll share with you my reasons for thinking so. He had some spiritual enlightenment. Maybe he was raised in a believing family. We don't know. We're not told. But maybe he was raised in a believing home where he had a mom and a dad and a grandmother and a grandfather that were praying for him. And he turned out to be a prodigal. Went off into the world, into sin, on death row, and now he is being executed. And could it be that there was a mom and a dad watching him die on that cross, who had been praying for him for years, and finally their prayers got answered? That's beautiful, isn't it? I don't know whether that's the case, but it could be. You know, he might be like Timothy, brought up in a believing home, had a mom and a grandmother that taught him the scriptures from childhood and prayed for him. And then the time came when Timothy met Paul the apostle and he heard the gospel of the grace of God and he responded and he got saved. Why? Because Paul preached the gospel? Well, yes, but really because he had a mom and a grandmother who taught him the Holy Scriptures and was praying for him, and God answered their prayers. Maybe this thief was similar. But the only difference was, instead of responding to the gospel while he was young in years, he turned against the Lord, got into trouble, got into sin, one sin after the other, until he was in prison, and then on death row, and then executed in the execution chamber on Calvary's Hill. Religious, maybe, but lost. That's what he was. That's my testimony, too. I was brought up in a religious home, baptized as an infant, sent to parochial school and confirmed, became a member of the church and one of the good boys on the block. There isn't such a thing. Religious, but lost. I had no peace with God. I tell you, that religion and the infant baptism and the confirmation, it didn't do me any good when the bombs were dropping over in the Philippine Islands in the Second World War. And that's where I met the Savior. Just like this thief, that's where I met the Savior. This repentant thief was not an atheist. He said to his companion thief, "Do you not fear God?" He was not an atheist. Maybe he was taught from childhood about the fact of a God. And he says, "Dost not thou fear God?" And he also acknowledged his guilt. He wasn't patting himself on the back. The nails in his hands wouldn't allow him to do that. He says to his companion thief, "We receive the due reward of our deeds. We're guilty. We're hell deserving. We're condemned already." That's what he was acknowledging. You see, beloved, repentance always is associated with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The watered-down gospel omits the need for repentance. One popular radio preacher, he says the big problem with evangelist preachers is they always talk about sin. I tell you, his big problem is that he isn't facing the reality of sin. You can't be saved unless you know that you're guilty, unless you know that you're hell deserving, unless you know that if you die in your sins without a Savior, you're going to be in hell for all eternity. This repentant thief knew it. He knew the truth of that. Because you see, repentance always is associated with faith. whenever you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you repent of your sin, you have a new life in Christ. There's an awful lot of empty believism profession in Christendom today. They make a profession and there's no evidence in their daily life that they're truly born-again Christian believers. In Christ, a new creation, a new creature. If that is missing, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Also, this repentant thief, he testified of Christ's sinlessness. He had a little theology under his belt, didn't he? He looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and he looked at himself and he realized, I am guilty and the Lord Jesus Christ is sinless. He said to his companion thief, he, the Lord Jesus, has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. Acknowledged the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the gospel too. Recognize him as sinless. Recognize him as the Son of God who became the Son of Man that he could go to Calvary to redeem your soul. Another thing about this repentant thief is he confessed Jesus as Lord. That's essential. You can't be saved if you don't confess him as Lord. It's nice if you could have him as Savior and not have him as Lord and then do your thing in the world. But that's not the gospel, beloved. He confessed him as Lord. He said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me. Another thing about this repentant thief is he believed in the resurrection. He believed in the blessed hope. He said to the Lord Jesus, when thou comest into thy kingdom, he believed in the resurrection. And he believed that the Lord was going to come again. He anticipated the Lord Jesus Christ's reign as king. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That, of course, is Old Testament teaching, isn't it? You see, this thief, with the theology that he must have had, was looking for the kingdom reign of Christ, the Messiah. That's pretty good theology, isn't it? But talk about the abundant grace of God. We receive above what we ask or think. Haven't you experienced that? You ask for something and God gives you something far, far greater. What did this repentant thief ask from the Lord? To be remembered in the future kingdom. That's what he asked for. What did that mean as far as time is concerned? When is the kingdom and the Lord Jesus going to reign as king? In the future, isn't it? A long time in the future. At that time, it would have been 2,000 years, maybe more, in the future. And so this repentant thief was asking a favor way off there in the future when the kingdom is established and the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is reigning as king. That was his prayer request. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. A little bit like James and John. Remember, their mother went to the Lord Jesus and asked for a request for her children that one of my sons can sit on your left side and one on your right side in your kingdom. A little bit like that. And what did the thief get? Wait 2,000 years and have a part in the kingdom? Maybe become a mayor in a little village there in Central Africa? Boy, he's going to get much better than that. What did he get? Immediate companionship with the Lord in paradise. That's not bad. That's not bad. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How beautiful. This thief is the first trophy of grace to accompany the Lord Jesus in paradise. I would say that this thief gave his testimony there while he was hanging on the cross, and it was a very good one. It was a very courageous testimony, don't you think? The testimony that he gave with this antagonistic audience that he had. The ones that were crying, "Away with him, crucify him, we'll not have this man to reign over us." And there, the thief hanging on the cross was giving his testimony and telling what he thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful, isn't it? It's easy to give your testimony in an audience where everybody is smiling and bowing in the affirmative, but those people were not smiling and bowing in the affirmative, I tell you now. And this thief did not hear a clear gospel message. He didn't hear a clear gospel message like you heard when you got saved. He didn't hear such a message. But I tell you what he experienced. He met the Savior. Personal relationship with the Savior. At Calvary. He cried out, "Remember me," when the mob was crying out, "Crucify him." One thing we learn from this repentant thief, criminal, the sinner cannot save himself. Isn't that a lesson that we learned from him? How about baptism? It was pretty hard for him to get baptized with the nails through his hands and his feet, wasn't it? And that's not the way to heaven, beloved. Good works. Pretty hard to do any good works with nails in his hands. Money. Some people are trying to pay their way into heaven. Somebody paid $140 million to see a movie that was from Hollywood, and it's not this gospel, beloved. It's not this gospel. They paid a big price. $140 million, and they didn't get the gospel. Money. He would have found it pretty hard to reach in his pocket to get some money. His hands were tied. Religion. He would have found it pretty hard to get religious all of a sudden, nailed to the cross. The only believer that I know of that went to heaven without getting baptized was this man. I can't think of any other. Can you? The only believer that went to heaven without getting baptized is this thief on the cross. He had a good excuse, didn't he? You know what his excuse was? Nails. Through his hands and through his feet. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you need to be baptized. Not to get saved, but to be an obedient child of God. You need to be baptized. One thing that the Lord Jesus teaches us with this contact with this repentant thief, the Lord Jesus proves no purgatory. Isn't that what he's proving? No purgatory. Supposing the Lord Jesus would have said to this thief, well, after 500 years of flames in fire in purgatory, well, then you can be with me in paradise. Aren't you glad that he didn't say that? You know, there is a multitude of people in the world today that are in bondage. I've talked to them with tears in my eyes. How long do you think after you die that you're going to spend in the fire of purgatory? I don't know is the answer. Well, do you think it'll be 100 years or 500 years or 10,000 years? What do you think? I don't know. You know, beloved, even the Pope doesn't know. Aren't you thankful that we've been delivered from the bondage of such teaching? The Lord Jesus said to this dear repentant thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That is the gospel at its best. You know, we also get a warning from this experience of the dying thief. There's a warning. As far as I can tell, there is few deathbed conversions. Very few. Occasionally you'll hear about them. Few deathbed conversions. Here is one. But don't depend on it. Because when you're on the deathbed, your mind is not going to be able to concentrate on the gospel. Medication or other problems is going to keep you from concentrating on the truth. Few deathbed conversions. I read the story of a Christian man who was witnessing to his friend who was not a believer. And he reminded him of how important it was for him to get saved, to be sure of his salvation. And the man said, I'm going to enjoy the world for a while. And then on my deathbed, I'm going to get saved like the thief. And the Christian man said, which thief? Which thief? These two thieves exemplify two classes of people in the world today. And beloved, You are one of them. You're one of them. There's only two classes of people. Color and nationality has nothing to do with it. There are two classes of people. Either saved or lost. Either saved and on your way to heaven, or lost, condemned already, and on your way to hell. There's only two classes of people in the world. Both of these men were guilty. Both of them were condemned. Both of them were helpless. Both of them were hopeless. Both of these thieves reviled against the Lord Jesus. Because you see, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Both of these thieves were in faith's reach of the Savior of the world. He was no closer to the Savior than the other one who went to hell. You see, the gospel either saves the soul or hardens the heart. Remember the parable of the soil? There's the good soil that receives the seed and springs up into everlasting life. And then there's the rocky soil that does not accept the seed. That's what we see in these two thieves on the cross. One had good soil. And when the seed of the gospel fell into that good soil, it sprung up into everlasting life. You see, it is God's will that everyone should be saved. Do you think it was the Lord Jesus' will to save only one of the two thieves? I don't believe it for a minute. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God's part is grace and mercy, isn't it? Man's part is repentance and faith. A lesson that we learn from the repentant thief today. The sinner must come to an end of himself before he will be saved. Until we come to an end of self, trying to save ourselves, trying to turn over a new leaf to try and live a better life. The day we come to the end of ourself, and we do as this repentant thief did, turn to the Savior and believe in Him. This man came to an end of himself. He just couldn't do any more, could he? Couldn't get baptized. He couldn't pay. He couldn't go to church. He came to the end of himself. His hands and his feet were fastened by nails to the cross. I tell you something that was not nailed to the cross. His heart and his tongue were not nailed to the cross. They were free. Do you remember that beautiful gospel verse? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's a beautiful gospel verse, isn't it? And this man's heart and this man's lips, mouth, was free to be used by the grace of God for the gospel. What is the destination of the believer at death. It's to be with Christ, isn't it? Just ask the repentant thief. The Lord Jesus promised, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That's the destination of the believer. Paul said, "I desire to depart," and he was talking about physical death. He says, "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." It's better to be with Christ than in this old sin-cursed world. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heaven is going to be a beautiful place, isn't it? What makes heaven so beautiful? The gold street? No. The pearly gates? No. The many mansions that the Lord Jesus is preparing for the redeemed? No. You know what's going to make heaven so beautiful? The Lord Jesus, our Savior, the one with the marks of Calvary in his hands and feet and body. That's what's going to make heaven so beautiful. In contrast to this, the unbeliever and the unrepentant thief is in this category. The unbeliever passes immediately into the place of torment. The story of the rich man and Lazarus, and we don't have the time to go into it, but that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that when this rich man died, he went to the place of torment. And he's going to be there for all eternity. Remember, he begged, he longed for the beggar to place a drop of water on his tongue to quench his thirst from that awful fire. And he didn't get it. Didn't get it. In closing, let's contrast just for a moment the repentant thief with Paul, the apostle. One was a moral religious Pharisee. That was Paul, wasn't it? A moral religious Pharisee. The other one was an immoral criminal. Quite different. Both of them lost. One of them, Paul, was saved to serve. And he, a number of years, was able to serve the Lord after he got saved. This repentant thief, he was saved. But he wasn't saved to serve. Didn't have a chance. He wasted his life with riotous living. Instead of being saved to serve and give his life for the Lord, he was immediately ushered into heaven. Well, that's wonderful, but it could have been better. I think Paul's testimony is better, don't you? Saved to serve. There's a good verse, especially for the younger folks. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." What's the advantage of getting saved when you're young? You've got your life to serve God. This repentant thief, he got saved all right, but he didn't have a life to serve God. Those who are saved on their deathbed, and that's what this man experienced, They are forfeiting their reward at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, the believer who faithfully serves the Lord can look forward to the day of the judgment seat of Christ when the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to hand out the rewards for faithful service. I think we should appreciate that. We should look forward to it, shouldn't we? But this dear thief, on his deathbed conversion, he didn't have a chance for rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, we learned this, that the gospel saves religious and non-religious sinners alike. Not a single good person is going to be in heaven except the Lord Jesus. He saves only sinners like you and like me, guilty, hell-deserving. He saves us by His grace, and He wants to save you today. In closing, do you think that the testimony of this repentant thief as he hung there on the cross and his conversation with the Lord Jesus and his faith in the Lord Jesus, do you think that that testimony had an influence on the Roman soldier? The Roman centurion. I think the Roman centurion is going to be in heaven, don't you? He saw the whole gospel of Calvary, didn't he? And he heard the testimony of this repentant thief. And his conclusion was, surely this was a righteous man. I think he's going to be in heaven. And I rather think that there's probably going to be some more. Barabbas, for example. Barabbas really was supposed to hang on that center cross, wasn't he? And the Lord Jesus took his place, like the Lord Jesus took our place and hung on that center cross in our place. I wonder if Barabbas was there. We're not told in Scripture. But maybe Barabbas was there, and he heard the gospel from this repentant thief. And I think I'm going to see Barabbas in heaven too, and maybe many more that were there at the foot of the cross. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the gospel. And we thank Thee that the gospel is for guilty sinners, like me, like all of us. We acknowledge with this repentant criminal, we deserve what we're getting. But this man, the Lord Jesus, has done nothing amiss. And He's dying on that center cross for me. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the gospel. Is there someone here today who's resisting the gospel? Is waiting for a deathbed conversion? Oh, Father, touch that heart. Convict of sin and guilt and condemnation and turn them to the Savior today. We pray in His worthy name. Amen.